Heavenly Father, we ask that you would send the Holy Spirit to us now so that we do not stray from your word and so that we do not live our lives in vain, but live them for your glory and our joy. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, as we've been working our way through the book of Matthew since I started a new series on it, although we've had a few weeks where I haven't been here to continue it, but as we've been looking at it, particularly from Matthew chapter 8 onwards, we've been seeing Christ's authority. How have we seen Christ's authority? Well, we've seen it by his teaching, which is, of course, given in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. And the crowds were amazed at his teaching because it says in verse 29 of chapter 7, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. We've also seen Jesus' power and his authority in the way that he is able to overcome great illness and uncleanness. We see that with the man of leprosy, who had leprosy at the beginning of chapter 8, and the centurion's servant who was healed, and Peter's mother-in-law, who had a great fever and was healed as well. And so we've seen his authority over illness, we've seen his authority in his teaching, and last time I preached, we saw his authority over even the wind and the waves of the Sea of Galilee. We saw him being able to stop a tremendous storm that even made sailors fear for their lives. And what has the response been of people as they've seen Christ's power, as they've seen his authority? Well, large crowds have begun to follow him. We've seen that previously, that these large crowds from all over the area, as they see him having authority over illness, as they see his authority in teaching, they've been following him. And we've seen that there's different responses that people make even within the crowd. And that's what we looked at previously when I was preaching a couple of times ago. There was this man, a scribe, who said he'd follow Jesus anywhere. And there was another man who said he would follow Jesus, but he needed some time first to go and look after his father, or to at least bury his father, who may have passed away. And then, of course, we saw these other disciples who followed Jesus into the boat, and they were there for the wind and the waves. So we've seen these different responses that people have to Christ's authority. People are following him. Some are keen to go anywhere with him. Some need a little bit of time, they say, before they will follow him. They have excuses as to why they can't follow him right now. And then there's some that got into the boat with him. And now we see Jesus land on the other side of the boat, and we see his authority continuing to be shown to people. And what is his authority now? What aspect do we see of his authority, his great power? We see that Jesus has power and authority over satanic forces, over demons itself. We see his authority shown when he gets on the other side of the lake. And who meets him? Well, we see these two demon-possessed men. Verse 28 of Matthew chapter 8 says, when he arrived at the other side in the region of the Gadarenes, two demon-possessed men came coming from the tombs to meet him. So he's got these two demon-possessed men coming to him. And what do the demons do? Well, they ask Jesus, what is he going to do to them? We see that in verse 29. What do you want with us, Son of God? They shouted. They want to know what Jesus is going to do with them. What does he want with them? And why are they asking Jesus what he is going to do with them? They know that they deserve to be tortured. We read in verse 29, have you come here to torture us before the appointed time? Why do the demons fear torture? Well, they know that they are rebels against God, that they are rebels under the great rebel, Satan himself. Demons are fallen angels who have rebelled against the living God, and therefore, as disobedient angels, they deserve to be punished by God. But why would they say to Jesus, are you going to torture us? Have you come here to torture us before the appointed time? Isn't it God that they should fear? Why do they fear this man Jesus? Well, they know who Jesus is. They know his great authority. And we even see it by the way that they address him. What do they call Jesus in verse 29? What do you want with us, Son of God? They recognize that Jesus is the Son of God. And therefore, their rebellion is against him. And therefore, they deserve to be punished by Jesus. And Jesus, as the Son of God, has the power, has the authority to do just that, to torture them for their sins, their rebellion against God. And so how do the demons then respond to Christ's authority? They respond with terror. How do we know they're terrified? Well, they come and they beg Jesus to let them go from his presence. Verse 30 says, some distance from them, Some distance from them, a large herd of pigs was feeding. The demons begged, they literally begged, they exhorted Jesus, if you drive us out, send us into the herd of pigs. They want to be away from Jesus and they want to go into the herd of pigs to get as far away from his presence as possible. And what does Jesus then do? He permits them to go. He permits them to go into the unclean pigs, unclean spirits for unclean animals. And he says that in verse 32. He said to them, go. And so what happens? So they came out and went into the pigs, and the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and died in the water. So what happens to these pigs as the demons go into them? They, of course, drown in the water. And it may be that the demons die too in some way, or at least they exit this world after going into the water in the pigs. At least it's a good shadow of what is to come to the demons one day when they are tortured. What is to happen to all fallen angels, to all demons? Well, we read in chapter 20 of Revelation that there is a lake of fire. There is a lake reserved for demons, and it's not the Sea of Galilee, it's not the Lake of Tiberias, it is the lake of fire at the final judgment. Revelation chapter 20 verse 10 says, and the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown. They'll be tormented day and night forever and ever. So the demons very clearly recognize that Jesus has authority over them, and their response is one of terror. But what is the response of the people of the Gadarenes, where these demon-possessed men live? What is the response of them to Christ's authority over demons? Well, in one way, it's very similar to the demons. What's that? They also come to Jesus and they beg him to go away from them. Verse 33, it says, those tending the pigs ran off, went into the town and reported all this, including what had happened to the demon-possessed men. Then the whole town went out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they pleaded. That's that same word that was used for the demons in the Greek, it is, in verse 31, for begging Jesus. They come and they beg Jesus. What do they beg Jesus for? For Jesus to leave their region. They want Jesus to go. Why? Well, like the demons, they're terrified of Christ's power and the harm that he may bring them. Why are they terrified of him? Well, he's clearly quite powerful. He's overcome two demon-possessed men. These men were men who stopped anyone from passing that way. They were so terrifying, they were so horrible, they were so powerful that no one could pass that way. We see that in verse 28. It says, the second sentence there in verse 28, they were so violent that no one could pass that way. And now they see these two men overcome by Jesus. And what else do they see? They see Jesus' authority to send demons into pigs and then those pigs to go into the sea. They see that Jesus is someone who has brought great loss to them. In one of the other Gospels, in Luke, it says that there's 2,000 pigs. They have lost much because of Jesus. They've recognized that he has been able to overcome these powerful men. These men in Luke's gospel said that they were kept under guard, chained hand and foot, but they'd often broken the chains. These men were very powerful, but Jesus had overcome them. And also, they're afraid of losing more as a result of Jesus being amongst them. They've already lost some pigs. What else might they lose if Jesus remains amongst them? Basically, they're probably looking at Jesus and saying, who is this sorcerer? Who is this great magician who has hopped off a boat in our land, in our town? We don't want him around. He's going to do terrible damage to us, and so we don't want him here. They're afraid of him, and they want him to go as quickly as they can get him to go. And so previously, as we've been studying Matthew's gospel, what have we seen? We've seen people attracted to Jesus because of his authority. We've seen large crowds coming to Jesus and wanting to follow him anywhere. And a group of disciples getting into a boat with him and going into a terrible storm with him. But what do we see here at the end of chapter 8? We see people repulsed by his authority. As they see the power of the Son of God, they are repulsed by it and they don't want anything to do with him. And this is helpful for us today, as we too are confronted with Christ's authority as well. How are we confronted with Christ's authority? How do we see Christ? Well, we see him today in his teachings. As we look at his word together, we see his teachings, and we see that he has authority. As we read Matthew 5, 6, and 7, many people have been converted as they've read the Sermon on the Mount. They see that this man is different. And as they see, as we see his healings in the Word today, as we see his authority over the wind and the waves, as we see his authority over demons, we understand his authority, and Jesus has come to us as we read his word and as we meet with his people. By his Spirit, he is present amongst his people, and so Jesus is here with us this morning. This is not a common lecture that you have come to this morning. You've come to worship. You've come into the presence of the living God, and he is speaking to you now through his word as you sit there and listen. You are in the presence of Jesus. And how do many respond when they come into a church, when they read the word and they see the authority, the power of Jesus? Well, they respond in a similar way to the demons and the people of the Gadarenes so many years ago. What is that? They respond with terror. They respond with fear and are repulsed by Christ's authority. Why? Because they recognize that Jesus is the Son of God, and therefore he has ultimate power to torture and to take away everything. That's what the demons were afraid of. They were afraid of being tortured. And what were the people of the Gadarenes afraid of? They were afraid of losing more of their possessions. And people understand the same thing today. They respond in terror. Why? Because we, all humanity, are like the demons. How so? Well, like the demons, all human beings have rebelled against God. We have all fallen. The angels, the demonic angels, they fell. And humans also have fallen. With Adam and Eve back in the garden and by our own sinful actions, we've all rebelled against God, and we do not serve him as we should. And therefore, what does that rebellion mean? It means that we deserve the same destiny as the demons. And what is that destiny? The lake of fire. Revelation chapter 20, I quoted from it before in verse 10, talking about how Satan would be thrown into that lake of fire. But what does it also say in Revelation chapter 20, verse 15? It says, if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is not just for demons. It's for rebels, human rebels, against God. And so therefore, what do people do as they hear about Christ's authority? They respond in terror. Many today still respond in terror. And what does that fear cause them to do? It causes them to try and get away from Christ as quickly as they can. Like the demons wanted to get away from him and said, can we go into those pigs? People today want to get away from Jesus. Or they're like the people from the Gadarenes who want Jesus to get out of their life. They don't want Jesus around them. They will either go or get Jesus to go, because of their fear. And we see this with human beings, even ones that we would think are to be godly human beings. What did we read before from Isaiah chapter 6? We read about Isaiah. And as Isaiah saw God in his heavenly throne, in some way, he saw this vision of the Almighty. He saw him there with the angels there. What did he cry out? He cried out, woe to me, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. As he saw God in his power, in his throne room, he was afraid and wanted to get away. He was a man of unclean lips. And when Simon Peter saw Christ's authority, he saw Jesus do that marvelous miracle that we know of in the Gospels, where they were able to fish and their nets were full of fish, and he saw the great power of Jesus to fill their nets with fish. What did he say? We read in Luke chapter 5, verse 8, it says, when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man. It is not an abnormal response that people have to Jesus when they see his authority, when they see his power. When you're conscious of your sin, your unclean lips, and that you live amongst a people of unclean lips, and you recognize that you deserve to be punished, tortured for your rebellion, people want to run from Jesus, like the demons, as quickly as they can, for the fear of pain for their sin. And how do we see people do this today? Well, they don't set foot in a church, and they get away from Christians as quickly as possible. You may even find this. You're in a gathering of some sort. You're there at work, and someone finds out you're a Christian, and they say, oh, yes, I've got to go get a drink from somewhere else. They don't want to talk to you for any length of time as soon as they find out that you're a Christian. And they certainly don't want to set their foot in a church. And why is that? They're afraid. They're afraid of God. And they're afraid of the torture that may come to them if they live in the presence of God. And how else do people get away? Well, like the people of the Gadarenes, whole cities try to get Jesus to go from their presence. It's a terrible thing, we read in verse 34. Then the whole town went out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they pleaded with him to leave their region. And people do this today as well. As they hear about Jesus, as they hear about his authority and his power to torture those who are rebels, they try to get rid of Jesus from their city. How do people do this today? Well, they stop the Bible being preached. They close churches as quickly as they possibly can, and they stop Bibles being printed in their nation. There are parts of the world where this is the case even now, and has happened all through history, that people want Jesus out of their region altogether because they're afraid of him. And what does Jesus often do? He gives them what they want, as we see in this passage here. He gives people permission to go for a time, as the demons did. How? He lets people get away from church. He lets people walk away from Christians, get out of the presence of Christ. And how else does Jesus give people what they want? Well, he may depart from a city, may depart from a state, from a whole country. As he permitted the Gadarenes to let him go, and get him to go, he will go. He leaves the city with churches will close, and the scriptures are not accessed, and there's a famine of the word of Christ in the land. But what's the long-term result? Well, like the demons, eternal torture. The demons beg to go from Jesus for a time, but it's not forever that they can be away from Jesus and the torture that they deserve. And it's the same for humans today. They can beg to be apart from Jesus, and Jesus may let them walk away out of the church building, away from Christians, away from the word of God, but it's only for a time. One day they will be tortured. There is an appointed time where they'll be tortured. And just like the people of the Gadarenes, they may keep some of their possessions for a time, but one day they will lose everything. They will lose all their wealth and all the pleasure that comes from wealth, just as the people of the Gadarenes did. They got Jesus out of their region, but one day they would die. And then they were judged, and they lost everything, if they didn't trust in Jesus Christ. And it's the same for us today. As people beg Jesus to leave, and he gives them what they want, there is still an appointed time for them, for torture and the loss of everything, and being thrown into the lake of fire. It will come. It may be delayed by your request of Jesus, but it will come. So what should people do instead? Well, people should beg Jesus to let them stay with him, and beg Jesus not to leave. But why would you do that? Won't Jesus torture us because of our sins and take away everything we own? Why would you want to spend any time with him now if, yes, I can't get away from the eternal torture, but at least I can enjoy myself now here somewhat? Why would I want to stay with Jesus now? If Isaiah and Peter didn't want to be in God's presence, why should we think it'll be okay for us? Well, there is a way to be safe in Christ's presence. There is a way. How? It's if we come to Jesus by faith in him. Why by faith? Well, Jesus went on from this place. He lived for a time. And then what happened to Jesus? Jesus suffered the torture and the loss that those who believe in him deserve for their sin. How? Well, at the cross, when Jesus went to the cross, what was he experiencing at the cross? He was experiencing what it is to be cast into the lake of fire. Not the lake of Galilee, but the lake of fire for those who are his people. Jesus went into the lake of fire that was reserved for demons and for unbelievers, for all rebels against him. And what else happened at the cross? At the cross, Jesus lost more than pigs. He never owned a pig, he was a Jew, but he lost everything. Even his clothes were taken from him. Why? Because that's what his people deserve. And he suffered on their behalf. He lost all at the cross and suffered the lake of fire, the lake of burning sulfur at the cross for his people. So what happens if we trust in Jesus Christ? If we trust in him and believe that he died in our place as our substitute, what happens? We don't have to be afraid to be in his presence. Why? The punishment is gone. And what do we receive from Jesus instead? We receive eternal pleasures from him. Psalm 16 says, "You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence." Not fear in your presence, but joy in your presence with eternal pleasures at your right hand. And so we who trust in Jesus Christ, we can sit at Jesus' feet and not be afraid, not cry out, "Woe to me," like Isaiah cried out. No, we can sit at his feet in peace. So what is your response? As you are confronted with the power of the Son of God, his great authority, right now Jesus is here with us. Jesus is speaking to you by the Spirit as he speaks through his word in the presence of his people. Jesus is here today. Will you be afraid? Because you know that you deserve to be tortured because of your sins. Will you be afraid to be in the church because you know you deserve everything you own to be taken away from you because of your sin? And in your fear, will you then plead with Jesus to let you go and escape the torture, but in reality be just running off a cliff like the demons of many years ago? Or will you beg Jesus to go so you won't lose your possessions and so that you can enjoy their pleasures for a little longer? I encourage you, don't do it. Why? What will happen? One day you will lose everything. One day you will be tortured. You will gain for yourself a bit of time now, but one day you will be cast into the lake of fire with nothing. Don't be like the people of the Gadarenes so many years ago. They were so foolish. Why? Well, the demons had no hope, but the Gadarenes were humans, and hope was available to them. They had the Son of God visit their town. The Son of God himself was there in their town, and he had shown that he had power to save humans. How? The two men who were demon-possessed. He'd saved them. He'd made these two men who were so violent, so scary, he'd made them clean again. He'd made them human again, in that sense that the demons were gone from them. He showed his power to save right there and then. But what did the Gadarenes do? They let sin, they let fear blind them, so they didn't embrace Christ for salvation but begged him to leave. Don't be so blind too. Jesus offers to forgive you and to let you stay at his feet. So what should you do? Beg Jesus to stay. Beg Jesus to let you stay with him. Don't be like the demons. Don't be like the Gadarenes. Don't want to leave his presence. Don't want him to go from your presence. No, ask Jesus to stay with you. Why? It's the only way to be safe for all of eternity. It's the only way to be safe. Trust that at the cross, Jesus went through the lake of fire and lost everything for your sin. And then, no longer tremble. No longer tremble, but rejoice and look forward to pleasures in God's presence. There's a fullness of joy that you can experience now in Christ's presence. As you read his word, as you spend time with him in prayer, as you're with his people, you can know the fullness of joy even now. And yet be still looking forward to the joy that comes of being in his presence face to face. I encourage you, if you've never done it before, trust in Christ Jesus and know the joy of being in his presence without fear, because you know that your sin is paid for. And if you are a Christian, what should you do? Well, I encourage you to keep on clinging to Christ and to get into his presence as much as you possibly can. We mustn't let fear of pain lead us to distance ourselves from Christ like the demons did so many years ago. When might we be tempted to do that? Well, when we've stumbled into sin and we fear Christ's rod of discipline. This happens. As a Christian, you do something wrong, and you fear Christ and his wrath, his pain that he may bring upon you, his anger. You fear it. And so what do? You distance yourself from him. How do you do that? Well, you don't read his word. You don't pray to him. You don't go to church. You don't take part in the Lord's Supper. It's a wonderful gift that God has given us, the Lord's Supper. We can come and be in his presence in a special way as we eat and we drink. But when we fall into sin, we feel like, I don't want to go there. I don't want to eat and drink. I don't want to be amongst God's people. I don't want to read his word, and I don't want to pray. And so we distance ourselves from Christ. And when else might we distance ourselves from Christ? When we're captivated by materialism. Like the people of the Gadarenes, sometimes we prefer pigs to Jesus. What do I mean? We're too busy accumulating stuff and pleasuring ourselves to spend time with Christ, to spend time in his word, to spend time praying to him, to spend time with his people. And by distancing ourselves from Christ, what's the worst thing that can happen? That Christ permits it, and he distances himself from us. The people of the Gadarenes didn't want Jesus there. And what did Jesus do? He left. The Son of God left their town. And as we distance ourselves from Christ, because of our sin or because of our captivation by worldly things, Jesus can distance himself. And it's the worst thing that can happen. Why? Because Christ is the true source of joy and pleasure in this world. Yes, pigs are good. I do enjoy some pork, I do enjoy some bacon, and I do enjoy the things of this world, but Christ is far better than anything this world has to offer. We should never prefer pigs to Jesus, as the people of the Gadarenes did. We should never be afraid of Jesus and distance ourselves from him because of his rod of discipline. No, we should draw closer to him and ask for forgiveness again for what we've done. Dig into his word, spend time with him in prayer, come to his people, and come to the Lord's table. He welcomes us. If we confess our sins, he welcomes us to be in his presence with him. And therefore, we will then experience that fullness of joy that comes. So what should we do? Well, we should not let fear of pain and loss of possessions blind us. Instead, we should be making the most of every opportunity. Even if we haven't been captivated as much by the world as we have in the past, or we haven't got a sin that feels to be keeping us from Christ, we should always, as his people, be drawing closer to him as we possibly can, making the most of every opportunity, both privately and corporately, to be in his presence. Even today, some will return this afternoon. Why will we return this afternoon? To rejoice in Christ's presence. Because Christ will be with us in the hall this afternoon as Jacob reads the Bible for us, as we spend time with him, with God in prayer, and as we spend time with his people, we are in Christ's presence. And there's a joy that comes of being with the people of God. And so we should make the most of every opportunity, because we know that to be in Christ's presence is without pain, is a great privilege that is not given to demons, but is given to sinful humans. We forget so easily that the fallen demons were never given a chance, an opportunity of salvation, but fallen humans have been given that opportunity. And for those of us who have seized that opportunity, we should never forget that it's a great privilege and make the most of every opportunity we have to be in Christ's presence. Let's come to him in prayer now. Let's speak to him. Lord Jesus, we praise you as the Son of God, the Son of God who has all authority, authority even over demons. We thank you for showing us your authority by your word amongst your people today, and we ask again that you would forgive our sins, so that we do not need to be afraid of your authority and the pain and loss we deserve for our sins. And Lord, we ask that you would help us by the Spirit to never run from you or ask you to leave, but always love to stay with you in your word and in prayer and in fellowship with your people, so that we know the joy of being in your presence, even now, until we see you face to face. And Lord, if there is anyone here who is still afraid of you, who the thought of the Son of God brings terror into their hearts because they know they deserve to be tortured and lose everything for eternity, oh Lord, we pray that they would trust in your suffering at the cross for their sins too, so they can rejoice in your presence by the Spirit. And we pray these things in your name. Amen.